This podcast is intended to motivate, educate, support, and inspire you on your journey towards inner peace. We are not medical professionals, and we do not offer any medical advice. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek the advice of a licensed medical professional.
Welcome back to another episode of A Witch, A Mystic, and A Feminist. Today, we are joined by Claire Stone. Claire is a psychic, a spiritual teacher, and the best-selling author of The Female Archangels with Hay House. She's a tarot reader from the age of 11 and the owner and director of the Angel Mystery School. Joining us from the UK, Claire Stone. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. This is so exciting.
Yes, definitely.
We're really excited to have you. So I kind of want to really jump in because you've been doing tarot reading since 11. And I also love your story about how when you were young, you said you wanted to be a psycho. So can you tell our listeners about that story?
Yes. So when I've always had mystical experiences from being a young child. So I would naturally experience astral projection, lucid dreams, see spirits, angels. I was just born this way. But no one in my family had these experiences that they admitted anyway. And They were actually quite scared of my gifts because we were raised Christians. Me and my mum lived with our grandparents, so they were like old school, you know what I mean? So there was this inner struggle going on with me because I had all these beautiful experiences that I really love. And then there was my caregivers telling me that's evil. It's the devil's work. You shouldn't be doing that. Even sent me for extra Bible classes. It was a course called The Abundant Life. So it was really difficult. And I came to a point where I said to my spirit guides one night, just go away. I don't want to see you anymore. And I stopped seeing them for a while. Ironically, it became a little bit scary because I could still sense them. They hadn't gone anywhere. I had just stopped physically seeing them, but I could still sense them. So I was sitting up every like 10 minutes at night, turning the light on, trying to see who was there. But that ability had now left me. And then when I was 11, my friend got given a tarot set for Christmas with a book. I don't know who get the 11-year-old a tarot set back then. This is in the 90s. Now I would expect it, but not back then. Anyway, I did a reading using the book, of course. And for February, we had the death card came out. And it really struck a chord because my uncle actually passed away in February. So from then I thought, wow, this is like actually real. So I went through this weird phase where I was absolutely petrified of tarot, but I could not keep my hands off them at the same time. I was willing to maybe get possessed or something. You know what I mean? I'm only joking. But that's what they had me thinking was going to happen if I'm dabbling with these cards. Right. But it just, when you get that feeling that this is my destiny, I need to explore this. Going back to the psycho, when I was on the playground, when the people used to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I used to say a psycho, but I thought that meant psychic.
That's adorable.
That is. So at 11, you started really kind of diving into tarot. You couldn't keep your hands off it. You said you were scared. Was there anyone that encouraged you?
No. So I wasn't 11 when I started reading. That was my first experience. And then I bought my own deck when I was 14. And that was when I totally dived straight in, started doing readings for my friends. They were asking silly questions. Will I get this coat for Christmas? We're 14-year-old girls, you know what I mean? Does this boy me? Then I start reading for the siblings. Then the parents are coming around. And then reading for everyone. But my grandparents were absolutely petrified of it. And there was no one, apart from the people who wanted the readings, no one else encouraged what I was doing.
Okay.
That must have been difficult. I mean, I know just growing up and not having that encouragement, but you must have had a really strong conviction that this was your destiny, right? Or this was a part of your life that wasn't going to go away.
I wrote about this. It's not actually published, but I wrote a chapter and it's called God is in the Bad Books. And it's where I'm at a point in my life where I've been raised a Christian, going to Sunday school every week. And now I'm like, I am cursed. I'm sick of this God because I don't understand spiritual law. All I understand is this religion, but I feel like it's not true. It doesn't resonate with what I am experiencing, what I am seeing. So I've got this massive internal battle. And that's when I fell out with God. I'm friends again now. But I had to explore all of these different pathways because I could not believe that this was life. There's no way that that could be it. You know, let's get married, have kids, all of that normal stuff. That just didn't feel like that. It just didn't ring true. I always knew there was more, like something was hidden.
So you found your path following that. You had stated that you were able to talk to angels, see angels. Can you go a little bit more into that? When you dove back into your spirituality and started, you know, finding different things, when did you recognize that, again, you were able to see spirits, angels, and talk to them?
So angels and spirits are different. I perceive them totally different. And I explain it like you're tuning into a different radio station. So the different frequency, okay. Spirit and angels. So I always continue to see angels, but I didn't see my spirit guides who I'd previously have conversations with. They would tell me things. But part of my story that I've not actually told you about, in my childhood, my parents were alcoholics and life was really hard. I left school at 14. I was a young carer. I was raising twins who were about 2 at the time. So life was really difficult. And I think that was kind of what propelled me more into seeking these deeper meanings of life at such a young age, because life was crap. So there had to be more, you know what I mean? But this spiritual journey, I just kind of got pushed around looking at different things because I just felt like it was calling me. But what really changed things for me was an experience I had one night with an angel. So when I just said God is in the bad books, I'd had enough of praying to God. It wasn't working. Life was rubbish. Life was hard. There was no adults. Like, I had anxiety, really, really bad anxiety, but no professional help or anything like that. And I'd had enough. And this night I opened up my prayer, and instead of saying like, oh, Jesus or God or whatever, can you help me? I was like, can anybody help me? Is there anybody there who can help me? And it was an angel that I call a divine feminine archangel. Even though angels are androgynous, we can go into that if you want to in a minute. And this angel called Ariel came through and she told me, she said, tomorrow I want you to go to the bus stop. And I'm like, what? Because my anxiety was so bad, just going outside was really, really difficult. And she basically gave me these tasks. So the task was go to the bus stop, then do that a few times. Then the next time it's get on the bus for one stop and then get off and come back home. So she basically like desensitized me from this horrible anxiety that I had. Bear in mind, at my age, I don't even know what anxiety is. People aren't talking about anxiety in the 90s like they are now.
Right.
So when I was older, I actually went to the GP and described my anxiety. And she said, could you be pregnant? And just sent me off home. You know, like people weren't aware like they are today. Right. So that experience with Ariel, that's what I felt like a miracle had taken place in my life, because I healed. Like, I was having panic attacks all day and all night. I was about 6 stone. I don't know what that is in America. But that is very thin, because you can't eat, because you feel sick. You've got that knot in your stomach all day. And I totally healed. I went and trained to become a holistic therapist. And I thought, wow, this is a miracle. If I can heal from this, like, I felt like anybody could, because it was such an amazing thing that had happened, this healing. And that was when I got really interested in, why have all the angels in books got boy names? Why the right. angel of God and not the goddess? And like, the angel that helped me was a feminine archetype. And that's how I started delving into kind of my own stuff, to be honest.
Yeah. So do you want to go back to angels are androgynous, but you just mentioned that yes. these were the
female, right? Yeah, let's go into that.
Yeah, I love getting on stage. My workshop is called The Female Archangels, and then getting on stage and saying, angels are androgynous, so how the hell have you wrote this book? I love it. So in truth, angels are androgynous, but like anything in our 3D, 4D, whatever people want to call it, reality, our earth reality is polarity, it's opposite. People who are into yoga will be familiar with the energy channels, Ida and Pingala, that come through the chakras, the sun and moon channels, masculine and feminine, whatever names people like to give them. And it's the same with angels. So archangels, this is how I experience it. The archangels are the masculine expression of the angelic kingdom. So by that, it's the angels that can help you to be logical, disciplined, all of the masculine brain qualities. That's mm-hmm. what those angels help you with. And then the divine feminine archangels, of course, they're not female, they're not women. They are expressing the wisdom teachings of the divine feminine. That's who they are. And that is something that has been massively suppressed. I'm sure you are well aware of it.
Right.
And that is the ability to trust our instincts, to go within, to explore our creativity, to know when to switch off and not to keep on pushing and striving and competing. So it's all about getting those energies in balance. And my belief is, I mean, my entire life journey has been like trying to attain spiritual enlightenment. And I know that I'm nowhere near it, but I am on my path and I'm striving for that mm-hmm. truth. And I right. feel like these wisdom teachings that the divine feminine angels give me, they feel like the missing piece of the puzzle, that it's the teachings that I never received in the other pathways that I've explored.
And I love that that you have the different exercises within your book. I actually had ordered your book, and that's The Female Archangels Reclaiming Your Power with the Lost Teachings of the Divine Feminine. And you have different exercises in connecting with some of the female angels. Could you go into basically your book and explain that a little bit more?
So in the book, I only talk about angels that I have had a direct experience with. I don't talk about things okay. that I don't know about. So every angel, there's a little story of how I met that angel. And sometimes it was on purpose. I'm like, oh, who is this angel? I haven't met this angel. So set the intention to meet it. And then that has happened. Now, to me, a big difference between the masculine angels, like I love Archangel Michael. I bet everyone loves Archangel Michael, but there's all these feminine angels, and I think there's a massive difference between them. And I feel like the feminine archangels are helping us to reclaim our power, because we are doing more for ourselves rather than, oh, Michael, can you help me? Can you protect me? Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Raphael, can you bring healing energy? Where the divine feminine angels like, right, this is how you can heal yourself. This is how you can protect yourself. So it feels okay. like it's next level to me. And maybe that's why it was suppressed, because it's so powerful. If all people knew how to navigate through this and call upon angels, or whatever archetypes you believe in, doesn't have to be angels, energies, wisdom teachings, however you want to receive them, how like whole and amazing would people be if they just knew all of that?
Right. Yeah, themselves.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have the Kindle versions. I'm sorry, I don't have the hardback to show on camera.
Aww.
But the other thing that I loved was kind of the pairing, right? So we've got the feminine energy and the masculine energy. So then between, you know, you paired kind of with their, I don't know if you want to say twin flame, but you paired each feminine energy with the masculine archangel as well. And yeah. I found that fascinating. And one of our prior episodes, we all kind of got in touch with our masculine archangel, mm-hmm. I guess. And so when I was reading about the feminine archangels, I'm like, oh my gosh, this actually makes so much sense. Like how, you know, how they're paired. I'm like, okay. And this is very new for me. And I'm just like you, I was raised Christian, you know, had a little out with God. We're friends now, you know, kind of thing. Like I'm back there. But I was like, this is amazing. Like, so for example, I was told that Shamael was out there for me, right? And so when I looked and read through your book, and Lady Charity was kind of the match, or, you know, the twin flame for that. And you kind of go into another step, which is chakras. So how the archangels are then, you know, kind of paired with a different chakra. And so then I'm like, oh my God, that's my heart chakra. And I'm just like, it's resonating. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. So then I had to go down the rabbit hole. So now that I've just word vomited all over the podcast, do you mind going in a little bit, like how they're paired and just kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, this isn't a traditional pairing. So there was an element of, oh my God, should I really be talking about this when I was writing the book? But it's my truth and it has absolutely worked for me and it makes sense for me. And the reason why I paired the angels with the chakras is because it just makes so much sense, because I feel like a lot of people have a bit of knowledge about chakras and understand how those chakras can help them. Mm-hmm. So I thought people are going to understand how that angel can help them if they know a bit about the chakras, or vice versa. It just makes so much sense. Like Michael and Faith, they're the Blu-ray angels, and the throat chakra is blue. And those angels are all about speaking your truth, being confident, your divine purpose, having the confidence to delve into your purpose and figure out, you know, what is my pathway? So it just felt like that is absolutely the throat chakra. And that was how it went. And then, so the solar plexus, I'm not going in any particular order, it's just whoever's coming through. The solar plexus, yeah, right. Aurora and Uriel. And they're the angels of fire. So, of course, they're going to be in our solar plexus. And then the qualities, the things that they can help us with. What does fire help us with? Cleansing, igniting, shining our light. So that's why I put it with a chakra, because it's the female archangels are so practical. And that is why I love their teaching so much. It's not let's sit here and say a prayer. It's get off your bum and get something done. If you want to heal yourself, if you want this incredible spiritual pathway, then you have to get up and actually do it.
Well, I think how you paired that, it was brilliant, because it really did resonate and it really did like make sense. Because then I kind of worked backwards too. Okay, well then from this chakra, who did you pair here? And so that really helped me kind of read through the book as well and apply it to maybe I know a little bit more about chakras right now than I do about the archangels. And so I really think anyone should go about and just read it, yeah. And see, you know, and see, just kind of dive a little bit into it, because it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it helps you to understand more about yourself, yeah. I feel, by being paired to the chakras. But again, the angels actually paired themselves with some of them, because going back to Aurora, she showed me in a dream. So when I was doing some holistic therapies one day a week at one particular place, I'd come home with a really bad headache. So I was like, why do I keep getting this headache every time I've been in this place? What's going on? And I fell asleep. And in the dream, she came to me and she showed me my solar plexus. So you know, in the tumble dryer where you pull out the filter and it gets all like full of fluff? It was as if she'd done that. And she was showing me that I was like collecting all kinds of energies that didn't belong to me. So I needed to really protect this center when I was doing the massages and the healing treatments. So again, that was how I knew that those angels were connected to personal power and this energy center.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So when you work with your clients, how do you get them in touch with their guardian angels or with their archangels?
So this is one of my favorite things to do. I probably say that about everything. but I actually did this fee in the UK, and it was just, I called it an experiment to prove that everybody has a guardian angel. And so I just said to everyone, right, well, just close your eyes. And even if you don't believe it, why don't you just for a laugh, try it. And I did a little meditation where they open the heart, expand your aura, and then set your intention. So I said to them, choose something in the physical world that you want your guardian angel to bring to you as physical evidence. I said, don't make it easy. We don't want any white feathers. right. We want something that would be, you know, like a purple feather or something totally random. So they choose their own thing. And then they say, okay, angel, if you're real, then I want to see this in 7 days. And they set their intention. Well, I got out the studio and my phone was blowing up on Instagram. People who'd done it, and the sign would manifest straight away. Like literally people, oh my God, I asked for an elephant. And then there was a documentary about elephants straight after you went off. Someone else wanted to see an orange Mini Cooper car. They stepped out the door and one drives past. So it was really incredible. But I got into this conversation with someone else recently because I think that some people can be a bit closed off to signs, and it's about how much we can open up and to be ready to look for them as well. Because one of the film crew came over at the end and she said, "Is this stupid? I asked for a teapot." And I know we're in the UK, but people don't use teapots like you think we do. So I said, no, I said, that's absolutely fine. She was still sat next to me and someone walked into the studio and it was just before Christmas. And for a bit of fun, someone had come in with a tray with a teapot, and it was a Christmas pudding shaped teapot with all these teacups. And this lady who'd asked for a teapot didn't even see it. And she walked in. So I tapped her and I said, "There's your teapot." And she was like, "Oh." But I took something from that because I couldn't believe that she didn't see it. So I always encourage people, because I take people on journeys. I like doing it properly when we're in the same place. So if we've got a retreat or an event on. And I always encourage people to meet the guardian angel before the spirit guide, because I just feel like, in my own experience, angels are higher vibration and more trustworthy. Not that I'm trying to scare anybody from the spirit world by any means, but angels don't have egos and the spirit world do. So, for example, if you're doing a reading for someone and someone's nan comes through, and just say that the person who was reading for her partner cheated on her, the nan could be coming through, "Tell her to leave him, he's cheated." But that's her opinion. That's coming from her ego. So it's not necessary, because there's an emotional attachment there. It's not necessarily the advice that that person should be given. So that's why I always feel like start with angels first. And once you are connected to your guardian angel, then, I mean, your guides are there all the time. They're there, whether we're aware of them or not. But then it's like open up to your spirit guides after you've got at least one like strong relationship. And all I do to do that, sometimes I drum, try and get people like really relaxed, getting into alpha. Sometimes we drink mugwort tea. I'm a master herbalist, and mugwort just helps you to get visual. It's not hallucinogenic at all, but it helps people who struggle to visualize. And then I do other sensitivity exercises, because some people can't visualize at all. So I need to be aware of that and think, right, I invite the angel to touch your orb of power. We send it out, we fill it with key energy, and then we see if we can feel angels touching our aura. And then if people feel like it, maybe on day two or something, I ask the angel to step into the aura. And people are taking note of physical sensations, changes in temperature, whether something's tingling. They'll experience all kinds of things, probably see colours. And then at the very end, I won't tell them we're going to do this, but then we'll ask for a name. And then when they get the name, we send it back and we say, right, we want to see that name in 7 days. So that's generally how I do it. And then I say to people, you know, it's like learning another language. If you really want to get connected to your angels and your spirit guides, then you have to put some effort into learning how to receive the messages, because they're sending messages all the time. And like the teapot lady, she didn't see it. So, you know, I meditate twice a day. And I encourage other people to do, even if it's just like 5 or 6 minutes in the morning, so that you're constantly remembering that you are a spiritual being, asking questions. I always say, I'm a mitherer. So the reason why I know a lot about angels and spirit guides, it's not because I'm special or anything like that. It's because I'm always asking them, like, hey, what does this mean? Can you show me that? Like, I'm always asking. So I encourage other people to ask as well, and then be receptive to what information comes back.
I'm not a very visual person and I'm not clairaudient. But the other day, like with my dog, I've
he's been having allergies and stuff like that. And so I've taken him to the vet. He's gotten shots and everything. And it's just, he's losing hair. I feel so bad for my dog. And so I was sitting there and, you know, doing Reiki on him. And so I actually asked my angels, I was like, I need you guys to tell me how to help my dog because this isn't working. And all of a sudden, like I started getting vibrations through my body, but then I was like, okay, but I don't understand what that means. So I actually need you to be very specific with me on how to help my dog, which they were. And I was able to get him the proper medication and talking with my husband. But I was like, okay, I need you to be very specific with me. And so they were, you know, it just it came through. And I was like, okay. And so that's one of the things that I've been learning, in that I need to ask them for specific answers because I am so analytical as well. And they give it to me. I mean, you know, and I'm good at seeing signs. I know that the signs throughout the day, what my angels are trying to tell me. But sometimes when I'm like panicking, like I was with my dog, I was like, I need a specific answer. They were like, okay, Marlene is panicking here.
I was just going to say, I'm probably one of your clients who, like the teapot lady. So sometimes I'm really tapped in and I'm like, there's a sign, right? There's a sign. Oh, yep. There's a sign. There's a sign. Well, perfect. And I'm asking questions and I'm, you know, and then something could like drive right past me, or the teapot could go right past me. And I'd be like, I didn't see a teapot, you know? So I'm practicing, I'm working on it. But the big thing, you know, for me in the past year has been like, I've been told that I need to keep the wonder. I need to keep asking questions. I need to keep being curious. I need to keep doing that. And that every time I fall out of that, I don't know if it's just me and I just stop seeing signs. And then the minute I snap myself back into it, all of a sudden the signs start reappearing and I can see them and I receive them, you know. And it's so crazy to me because I'm like, well, you just wasted a week. Like, what were you doing? Like, you know, like I was off track for a week, but okay, it happens. You're human. So yeah, I had a little of both going on. So you said you conduct retreats, right? So, and you like to do things in person. So do you, so is that your main focus? Okay. So what can the participants expect to gain from your retreats?
I feel like the retreats are to help people to become re-empowered, to reawaken. So the last retreat that I had 2 weeks ago was called Return to Magic. And, you know, it's just going back to that state of, like you've said, wonder. So on one of the days, I took him to all the sacred sites in Alderley Edge. There's lots of myths about Merlin and King Arthur. So I took him there, told him the story, took him all on the wizard trail. So it was that element of fun, being out in nature as well, but coming back and lots of self-reflection, because it's all about self-reflection. And that's going to help you notice the signs. So as well as always asking spirit and angels questions, I'm always asking myself questions. Oh, why did that annoy me? Why did I feel like that? Why didn't I do that? Like constantly, because I am trying to refine myself. It's just who I am. So I try not to be hard on myself. I used to be like, oh, damn it. You know, like you've just said. But one of my practices that I've not told you about is Aikido, which is a spiritual martial art. And I did that for 22 years. And Aikido, it's a way of polishing the spirit. That's what our sensei used to say. So this is what it's all about. Tapping into these energies that are already within. They're not out there. They're within. And allowing your ego to, you know, cast it aside, even if it's just for a few minutes, a bit of peace from the chatter. And the more you do it, the longer you stay in those peaceful states. So yeah, people come to the retreats and I help them to get back to who they want to be, or, you know, we always get rid of a load of crap. We have a big bonfire. We write down what we're releasing. We do that right at the start, big release ceremony. And then we think about, right, what's next? What action steps? So that's our masculine brain, what we're using. And then we're complementing it with the going within and the self-care and all the nice stuff. But But yeah, my teachings are massively on how can you do it? Like you, I believe that everyone can do what I do, and that's what I want to show them.
I would love to experience one of your retreats.
I know.
We've discussed this before in like our pre-interview and stuff, but yeah, just it sounds amazing, especially in the UK. I would love to go on a tour of like Merlin and King Arthur.
All the mystical themes.
Yes. That would be so fun.
You will have to come over and be my guest because you will absolutely love it. It is so magical. It really is.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. So how do you think that connecting with your guardian angels and archangels, how can doing that enhance one's daily life and overall being, do you think?
I think that by connecting to your guardian angel, it's as if you have got this constant source of reassurance, guidance, protection, love, acceptance. Even if you're having a bad day and you feel like you've done it all wrong, you've got this angel there that's never judging you, that's just always supporting you. I mean, going back to my childhood, I kind of raised myself. I wasn't really parented. So I don't know if that's why I benefit so much. This is just coming to me now. Maybe this is why I benefit so much from angels, because they gave me something that I never got from somewhere else. Yeah. But it's as if they can be like our, I want to say celestial parent, or like they just, your mother, your father, like it's like they're everything. They can be literally everything and help you to stay on track. They don't do it for you. And they don't always tell me everything as well, by the way. Like I have desperately wanted to know things, but it's not been in my best interest to know, because then I might have changed destiny because I wanted to avoid something happening. You know what I mean? Sometimes they don't tell me, and that's annoying. But I accept it. And yeah, I am a bit cheeky with them. I've got a cheeky spirit guide. Her name's Helena. I call her Hell's Bells because she has got one personality. She's brilliant. But she's the cheeky one. She's not an angel. She was my friend in a past life, and she's not reincarnated this time. So she helps me out. She comes in readings and stuff like that. But sometimes she tells you things that just like a bit useless. So one time we were going camping. We'd just got this new camper van. My husband's packed it up. The kids are in the camper van. We even had the dogs in there. And I'm channeling some writing from Helena, and thought, right, give me a message for the holiday. And she said, the bells will be ringing. And I'm like, what? And that's all she would say. Anyway, we went to a place called Swallow Lake Falls in Snowdonia in Wales. It's stunning. And we got there so late that we just parked on a car park next to the river, next to the falls. And then this is like Saturday night. So what happens at midnight, the church bells, there's a church right next to us, starts ringing. Every hour, because it's now Sunday morning, the church bells rang 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And I'm just lay there in this camper van and I'm looking up saying, well, you did say they'd ring. But she didn't say, why don't you get a hotel, Claire, because you're not going to get any sleep.
Right. Yeah, that would have been useful.
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
They're like, here's some information.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
She is a bit cheeky.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel like a lot of information comes to me, is like sometimes just very useless information. And I think it's because I'm the type of person that wants to know everything, like, you know, and they're just like, oh no, you don't get, you need to experience life, girlfriend. But yeah, so some of the information that I get is useless. But it's fun, you know, especially because this is still so new to me that when information comes through, I'll take whatever you want to give me.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as, you know, you're like, you can take it, even if it's useless, it's still exciting. You've got that, oh, yay. I mean, people are so excited when they do it, because they come on a workshop and they're like, I've never done this before. I've got no abilities. And then they do a few journeys and they've channeled these incredible messages. They've received all these visions and they can't believe they've done it. And they're on cloud nine. It's just so exciting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other like things that you encourage people to do besides asking for a specific sign, like when they're skeptical or they're just starting out? Like, is there anything else you encourage them to do to try to
connect to angels,
get in touch with them? Yeah.
I just get them to, if they want to, be like a scientist, try and prove that they're real, and they will do it. If someone asks and they're genuinely like, right, come on, angels, I want to know if you're real or you're not real. I mean, most people do believe in angels. They mainly believe that, all right, I've got an angel, but I don't know how to talk to this angel, or I don't know this angel. And the truth is, everyone knows their angel. Your angel was assigned to you before you incarnated into this lifetime. Like, we already know that angel. And I believe that when we go to sleep at night, we're connecting with loved ones in spirit, we're connecting with our guardian angels, like we're doing all of that stuff. And it's like, which is actually the real, is this, which is the dream and which is the real one? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Seemed real to me, because I lucid dream a lot and see people in my dreams and then know that I'm dreaming. Like, oh, I know that I'm dreaming. So, but there's Ted. we just ask for it. That's it. And I think if you ask for it, I think that is enough to open people's mind to think there's something in this. There's something in it. And then ask them for another sign. And then you'll find that person will probably see things like 11, 11, 444 and start getting interested in what does it mean? I mean, that's the burning question of all time. And me and my friend actually laugh about it. What does it mean? Is what something that we used to always say to each other. And that is the key, you know, because a lot of people, they'll say, oh, sin 11, 11. On a car, then it was on a receipt, and then looked at my phone. But like, what are you doing with that? So you've seen it, but are you taking action after you've seen it, or are you just, oh, seen it? How cool is that? Because actually, that's the universe, or the angels, or whoever you believe in, the divine, trying to get your attention. But then it's your turn to be like, right, what is it that they want? And if you don't understand what they want, ask them. Loads of times I'm saying, tell me what you want. Show me what you want me to know, because I don't know it. And another good thing for people who are just beginning with angels and stuff are angel cards or oracle cards that can really help you to get receive. You could just say, right, angel, give me a message through this deck. What do I need to know today? And then you'll probably find that something in that card manifests in the external world as well. That confirmation will come back again, because the angels really want us to, you know that they're there to, I don't want to say utilize them, because they're not like our genies that we're making wishes with, but like, they're there to help us. And they're probably like, come on. It's about time you,
I know,
ask us to do something.
Right. So as we start to wrap this up, can you let us know of any upcoming projects that you have going on or anything like that? Any new books coming out, maybe some tarot decks, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So I have an online school. I know I said that I like doing things in person, but I have the Angel Mystery School, and we meet up online every 2 weeks. We have a masterclass one time, and it could be about absolutely anything. Even though it's called the Angel Mystery School, it could be about psychic protection, sigil magic, tarot cards, like literally anything. And then the next time we do a meditation, what a channel. So that's on Zoom. So I do that. That's been running for about 4 years. I have written a tarot book, but it is not out yet. And I'm on to the next tarot book, which is, the title might change, but at the moment it's called Manifesting with Tarot Magic, because I've developed this system of manifesting with tarot cards. That's a workshop that I've been doing a lot over here at the moment. So they're my current projects at the moment.
Oh, fantastic.
And what about Jesus and the Bad Books? What was that? Was that just a little like article, or is that?
I love Jesus. God was in the bad book, not Jesus.
Oh,
I like all the ascended masters. Yeah, Jesus is all right, and especially like Mary Magdalene. Very fond of her. That was a 14-year-old thinking God is in the bad books. And now it was my misinterpretation, because I didn't understand spiritual law. I didn't know about the law of karma. I didn't know about free will. I didn't know that I could ask for help. It was because I didn't understand things. And that's why I thought God was against me. And by the way, I don't think God is a man on a cloud. I'm not religious. I think God is an energy, a spark of energy that's in everyone. So yes, I never did anything with that.
I know, I was going to say, I think that's an amazing title. Like if you ever, you know, go that way and like want to rewrite it, I would be the first in line for that. So
brilliant.
Is there anything that you would like to leave our audience with?
Yeah, they're showing me the High Priestess tarot card. So my angels and guides will always show me a card for a cheeky one, because I know what that means. And the High Priestess, she has got all of the wisdom within her. I just feel like I want to say to every witchy woman watching this now, listening, that everything that you want, you really can have it. And all of the answers, the pathway, it is within you. If you go within, then you will find a way to become the person that you really want to be. And another thing is the saying that it's not all about, I don't necessarily mean in a material way. I mean, so that your life feels like really satisfying and enriching as well, so that you feel contented. So you wake up in the morning. I wake up every morning and I say thank you, because I'm still here. I have been gifted this day. I'm alive today. And it would be so nice if people felt that. Everyone has problems in life. That is life. But it's about realizing that this is a gift and it's short. So go for it now. Do not hesitate. Manifest, create your best life right now, and ask your angels to help you, and they will.
That is amazing.
Claire,
I love it.
I know. Claire Stone, thank you so, so much for sharing all of this with us today.
Thank you.
It has been such a pleasure. And I know we're going to put all the things, Marlena, in their show notes.
Absolutely.
Okay. So all the things we talked about, your book, all your great, the Angel School, all of that. And yeah, I think that's another episode. So thank you for joining us on this episode of A Witch, A Mystic, and A Feminist. We will be back next week. You can also connect with us in between on WMFpod.com.